This is the Politics and More podcast. I'm David Remnick.
First of all, I just wanted to ask how you're doing. I hope the threats are decreasing, though I imagine, unfortunately, that might not be true.
No, the opposite is true.
I'm sorry to hear that. You still have to have security?
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get too deep into it, but essentially, we all do.
The GOP seems to be at war with itself in the state of Georgia. And that may be more than a figure of speech.
There was another site that was taken down last night that basically had an enemies list that had the governor of Michigan, me, Brian Kemp, and it had our pictures with a sniper kind of target on it with our home address with a picture of our houses.
Jesus, that's unbelievably scary.
You try not to think about it. You try to think, oh, these people are just venting, but that was like really wildly specific.
The state Republican officials who certified Georgia's vote for Biden have been attacked by Donald Trump and his allies, and they view the reporting of clear fact as betrayal. That abuse has turned to threats of violence from Trump conspiracists on the ground. And meanwhile, Georgia is in a unique political position. It holds the nation's balance of power in its hands. Both of Georgia's Senate seats are up for grabs in a runoff election. The GOP needs at least one of those seats in order to keep the Republicans and Mitch McConnell in control of the Senate, exercising tremendous leverage over the fate of the Biden administration. And yet, the constantly repeated lie that the election was rigged actually discourages Georgia Republicans from voting. One of the Republican candidates, David Perdue, was a no-show for a televised debate against Democrat John Ossoff, which you would think is not exactly a good look. I've got to admit, I'm as puzzled about some of this as you are. So we're going to check in with our correspondent in Atlanta, Charles Bethay. Charles, welcome.
Thanks, David.
So over the past month, a lot of the president's supporters have turned, sometimes even violently, on the officials that they see as responsible for conducting the elections, even when those officials are Republicans. You talked to a man named Gabriel Sterling, who is the voting system implementation manager for Georgia. Tell me about Gabriel.
So, Gabe Sterling was an until recently fairly obscure elections official in Georgia with this sort of cumbersome title. He's also a Republican. He voted for Trump twice. But he's recently come under fire alongside, as you said, Secretary of State Raffensperger and Governor Kemp for not doing enough in the view of Trump and other Trump loyalists, including Senators Loeffler and Perdue, to tip the election in Trump's favor, however possible. So beginning a month or so ago, Sterling started to hold these really powerful and increasingly emotional press conferences, pushing back, often in a lot of detail and data and depth, against Trump's disinformation campaign, which ultimately led to threats of violence against him, Raffensperger, and Kemp. And when I spoke with Sterling just this past week, he told me a website had just been taken down where his name and his address and a picture of his home appeared beneath a sniper target. These kinds of very explicit, direct threats are increasing, according to Sterling and others. And it really shows just how crazy things have gotten here, where you have a Republican election officials who are getting these threats from Republicans who think that somehow, in some warped universe, these Republicans, Trump supporters, have thrown the election to Biden.
And they have no doubt that the reason that these threats have happened, it seems, is because they've been kind of, the flames have been fanned by the President of the United States.
Absolutely. And Sterling made that very, very clear in his press conference that went viral a few weeks ago.
Are you telling me that these threats have only increased since that time?
According to Sterling and other reports that are coming out, I think officials are being more and more open with what the rhetoric from Trump and others is leading to. And I think more and more people are starting to get concerned about it when they hear these details.
Is there any sense of how that is affecting the race for Senate, this kind of double-barreled Senate race?
I think everyone is really just locked into Trump on the Republican side is really locked into what Trump is saying. And what Trump is saying is confusing. And we can talk about that. I mean, I was in Valdosta a few days ago when he came down to South Georgia to speak, and he was trying to do what he's been doing for the last few weeks, which is make two arguments that don't really work well together. One is that he wrongfully lost a rigged election in Georgia and elsewhere. and two, that voters in Georgia have to vote in the Senate runoffs. So I think it's hard, and I talk to voters who are trying to wrap their heads around, do we vote in an election that our president, who we believe more than anyone else, has said is not being run on the up and up, but he's also telling us that we need to vote in it? So it's this mixed message.
I'm still going to vote, but I'm worried.
Are you voting for Loeffler Purdue?
Yes.
Yeah. So you have, do you feel at all there's any like logic to not voting since there's so much fraud going on? Because that's what people were saying, right?
That's an excellent question.
Like, why vote?
Yeah, Lynn Wood was saying, make them earn your vote. You know, don't vote.
What do you think about that?
I have to disagree with it. But yeah. I disagree with what he said, but I understand it wholeheartedly.
Right.
Because we are put between a rock and a hard place. And when you're dealing with those kind of situations,
yeah,
you just have to choose, I guess you could call it the lesser of two evils. I don't like that argument.
Do you know any people who are going to just not vote because they said, screw it?
They're everywhere.
Because of the fraud?
Yeah, they're everywhere.
You know them?
Yeah. I know them personally.
Really?
Yeah, they're not voting. They're like,
how many do you think are out there? Are we talking about a couple here and there,
or are we talking about a lot?
Georgia? Yeah, people, Republicans who say the system is messed up.
Tens of thousands.
Because that could determine the whole election.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
So you're worried, it sounds like. You're a little worried that
the
Republicans could lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Kemp won't do his job.
So you said you were in Valdosta. You've been to various other Trump rallies. What's the tone like? Are people more revved up? Are they more violent?
The Proud Boys, the hate group, was present. I stood behind them for a few minutes in Valdosta and tried to listen in on their comments that were sort of hard to hear, but they were enjoying much of what Trump was saying and nodding their heads a lot. I didn't encounter any violence myself at this rally. And I talked to a number of people, many of whom were respectful enough, even if they were, you know, dubious of what somebody from The New Yorker was doing there. And they just talked about how they seemed sincere in their belief that the election was stolen and that everything Trump was saying was true, and that they were again trying to parse this double argument of voting in the election, but also continuing to parrot the narrative that the election is rigged. And they were saying what Trump was saying, which is those two things.
Charles, one of the figures in Georgia who seems to be pouring fuel on the fire of conspiracy theories about the election is a guy named Lynn Wood. Lynn Wood is a lawyer who's got a surprisingly large reach, about 800,000 Twitter followers. And he says that Trump won a decisive 400 electoral votes, and he's urged supporters to stock up on, and I quote, Second Amendment supplies. Who is Lynn Wood, and why is he important in the race?
He's very important. He's a regionally well-known defamation attorney who made his name defending Richard Jewell, the accused Olympic Park bomber in the 90s in Atlanta. He's also more recently represented Kyle Rittenhouse, the Kenosha shooter. And he's been filing a lot of these, frankly, flimsy election-related lawsuits on behalf of Trump and his various grievances related to the election process. So he's come to represent, I think, a very different kind of faction of state Republican from Gabriel Sterling, who we spoke about. Wood represents those who believe the November election was rigged in some very far-fetched ways, and that the Republicans responsible for the rigging, or at least allowing the rigging, ought to go to jail.
Well, where do you think you are with your efforts to advocate on behalf of the election fraud narrative? I mean, how is it going in your view?
I think the Georgia Patriots are getting angrier by the moment. They are disgusted with the governor, the lieutenant governor, the secretary of state, and the attorney general. They're going to run them out of office by recall, resignation. I don't think they'll last 2 years for re-election. I think Governor Kemp and Raffensperger are going to go to jail, maybe Duncan too. They're all crooked.
In the meantime, he argues, Republicans should not vote in the runoffs. They should boycott them. He told me recently, a few days ago, that he thinks there are hundreds of thousands of Republicans in Georgia who would pursue a boycott.
They're not going to tolerate the shenanigans pulled on November the 3rd. They're not going to tolerate backroom deals cut by the Secretary of State in the dark of night. They're not going to tolerate people in the Republican Party who do not 100% back an investigation of the November 3rd election.
That number seems quite high, but Sterling himself, who called Wood, when we spoke, a very unserious man in a serious time, Sterling thinks that there are more than 10,000 Republicans in Georgia who probably will listen to Lynn Wood and stay home.
And that could be decisive, right?
That could be decisive. So the Lynn Wood effect, as it's being called by a lot of folks that I've talked to, is really one of the main interesting narratives to follow and potentially decisive narratives to follow in these runoffs.
Now, what I've seen of the debates and the non-debate is that Loeffler and Perdue are really not talking about issues. They're talking about this. They're talking about stolen election. They're talking about radical socialist. That's basically what's going on in the state of Georgia. If I'm watching television and I'm watching their ads, is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah. And I went to a rally in Perry, Georgia, that they held together about a month ago, where Perdue actually said something like, "Look, y'all, it's not about issues." That's a verbatim quote. It's really just about drawing a line in the sand, preventing Democrats from having unified power in government and doing all these things that are really far-fetched that aren't going to happen, but that nonetheless are sort of fear-mongering.
Like what?
So socialism. I mean, that America is suddenly going to become a socialist country. Mm-hmm. That Puerto Rico is going to become a state. D.C. is going to become a state. The courts are going to be packed. Sure, some of these things perhaps are under consideration, but they were expressing them as certainties that would happen in the near future.
Now, you spoke with a Republican strategist. I repeat, a Republican strategist who told you that without the nut vote, you won't carry a county in Georgia. Now, what does that mean, and how does it come into play in the runoff?
Well, he was actually quoting, to be fair, a former Democrat senator from a number of decades ago. I think the quote means that you have to, I guess, embrace the idea that there are a lot of low information voters who have some far-fetched ideas. But if you want to win in the state, you have to embrace them, tolerate them, humor them. And so that's what I think is being done, especially when you have a candidate like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who endorsed Kelly Loeffler. Greene, as you may recall, and I wrote about this for The New Yorker, was the first QAnon candidate to win congressional office. She represents Northwest Georgia, very conservative area. She has some really far-fetched ideas. Loeffler has been willing to embrace her. No doubt Loeffler doesn't think QAnon makes any sense, but she understands that she needs those voters. So she's willing to wrap her arms around somebody who's given them voice.
When we talked in November, it was clear that the Democratic strategy was going to be turnout, turnout, turnout. Has anything changed?
No, I mean, and that's the strategy on both sides at the end of the day. I walked around with Andrew Yang and Martin Luther King III a few weeks ago as they tried to get out the vote in a Southwest Atlanta neighborhood. And their message boiled down to, if you voted for Biden, you have to do this one additional thing in order to see Biden's administration actually try to execute the agenda that they've pitched to the American people.
If President Trump's message is that Georgia elections are fraudulent, and Perdue and Loeffler's messages, come out and vote for us and let's avoid radical socialism, where does that leave Republican voters who maybe are not so taken up with the fringe conspiracy theories that have been touted so loudly?
Well, you know, to be frank, I know some of these Republicans, these upper middle class Republicans personally, some, you know, even perhaps related to me, who are inclined to still vote for the Republicans because they want to see government that's not just controlled by one party. The idea of splitting power is persuasive to a lot of these folks, even the ones, again, who don't buy any of this stuff about fraud, about rigging, who find Trump distasteful, who find Loeffler and Perdue's attempts to really grovel to Trump kind of disgusting. They're still willing, I think, to remain Republican, whatever that means now.
Charles Bethea, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Charles Bethea is a staff writer based in Atlanta. The Georgia runoff elections are on January 5th. Early voting began last week.